Mark chapter number 13. There's trying to figure out the best way to approach it. And I know we have a little bit of time, but not a lot of time in Sunday school. We're going to go ahead and we're going to read the entire chapter. We're just going to kind of read through it, read it fairly quickly, but also at the same time, stop, give you a little bit of commentary. And we're going to focus on the last story or the parable, in a sense, that Jesus gave at the end of the chapter. It works all together. It's an important passage of scripture, and so we can hop into it. I'll go ahead and just talk to you as it goes along. Mark chapter number 13, we remember that Jesus had just been dealing with the scribes, the Pharisees, as he's leaving the temple. It says, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones, what buildings are here. So he said, wow, look at the buildings, look at the stones. Jesus kind of puts things in perspective. And I love the way that Jesus puts things in perspective, because we worship or we look up to things, we make big deals out of things that Jesus just doesn't. And it says in verse number 2, Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So we have in this idea, he's talking about a future event, a prophetic event. We know that this happens later on around AD 70 and with Titus. But also it says here in verse number 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. So he's now sitting upon the Mount of Olives. And it's kind of a picture of the backdrop there. He's there. It says that Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. So these four guys come up. And Mount of Olives, you know, where he's going to return someday. It's great to see in the backdrop. He begins talking about the tribulation. He begins talking about the second coming. He begins talking about future events. But I want you to see here the focus he has. It says in verse number 4, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, who seem to be the most spiritually minded of the group. We know that the inner circle being Peter, James, and John. We know that Andrew is known for bringing people to Jesus, seeming like he has some spiritual discernment by some of the actions, a few actions we know from the Gospels. Verse number 4, they ask this question, tell us when these things shall be. Of course, I mean, that's the obvious. Hey, Lord, you're saying all these stones are going to come down. When's that going to happen? Remember, that what are the disciples looking for? They're looking for Jesus to become ruler. They're looking for him to become a physical, to overthrow Rome. They're looking for him to bring the kingdom of God down. And they're asking, hey, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So they're looking for a sign. They want to understand a date. They want to understand a sign. Hey, can you help us? And he's asking for some prophecy. Talk to us about future events. Now, prophecy is not one of the things I'm the strongest in when it comes to teaching and preaching. It's something I'd like to be stronger in. I think I have a good handle on what's happening, but there's always things I would like to learn. But here, Jesus here brings some perspective to it. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. He doesn't begin off by saying, well, this is what the end times. He doesn't pull out the chart and say, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Instead, he tells them, he takes it off the events and says, I want you to focus on yourself. I want you to focus. Don't focus on the future. He's going to tell them a little bit about the future. He's going to tell them about some signs you can see. But he says, that's not what I want you to focus on. I want you to take heed. And here's a few things. He says this multiple times in this chapter. And the first thing he talks about, take heed lest any man deceive you. Be careful. And we're going to look at this a little bit more in Sunday morning, so we're not going to take a lot of different times. But he says, I want you to be wide open. I want you to be paying attention. Take heed to yourself. Take heed, making sure nobody deceives you. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say that they follow Jesus, but they're not following Jesus of the Bible. There's a lot of people out there that will come and say that they are Jesus or they're the Messiah. But it's important to understand the Jesus of the Bible and to believe in teaching and preaching of the Jesus of the Bible. And he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear wars and rumor of wars. So there's another phrase that's really important in verse number 2, verse number 7, the second part. Be ye not troubled. We live in a world today that's gone crazy, and lots of people are afraid. Lots of people are scared. Lots of people are troubled. And it's like, hey, look, I'm getting ready to tell you that there's people out there who's going to try to deceive you. I'm getting ready to tell you, hey, there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, and there's two things I want you to pay attention to. I want you, number one, is take heed to yourself. Number two, don't let these things trouble you. And the reason why is because these things are going to come about. It says here, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. He says, look, these things are going to happen. You're going to live in a world that is very troubling. Make sure you take heed and make sure that these things don't trouble you. Because I've told you ahead of time, we're going to keep on going here just for sake of time. We're going to look at this in the Sunday morning message some. Verse number 8, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourself. Once again, what's said here? Take heed not only to take a step further to yourself. Then it begins to describe that there is going to be persecution that's going to happen. For they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues ye shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. So did that happen to the apostles? It did. Does that happen today? Some, especially in other areas. And then he says in verse number 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not that ye speak, but the Holy Ghost. So we come to the spot, he's saying, hey, look, when they're going to persecute you, here's the thing I want you to do. I want you to take heed unto yourself. Persecution is going to come. So I want you to be in step with the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to worry about those things. The Holy Spirit of God will lead and direct you in what to say and how to handle the situation. Then he begins talking about persecution that happens at home. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father to son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14, we see beginning talking about even future events during talking about the tribulation period. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Now it begins to give a description a little bit about what the tribulation period is going to be like. The next step on God's calendar for us is the rapture, the taking home of the church. But here we see that he begins to describe to those that's going to happen while those that live in the great tribulation. Once Christ calls his church home, it begins a series of events that will happen. And you see here some of those things, and it describes how horrible it's going to be. It's definitely not going to be a game. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house. Don't even worry about going into the house. Neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall affliction, now look at this next phrase, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Saying that things are going to be worse than has ever been in this world. And you can imagine we've had some rough times, some hard times, even that we think about the flood and all the things happening. He's saying things are going to be even worse before any other type of affliction that's ever been in the world. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he have chosen, he have shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And then here you have this phrase again, but take ye heed. Once again, he says, look, take notice of this. Why? Because behold, I have foretold you all these things. Don't let these things take you by surprise. He's saying, I foretold you these things. But in those days, after that tribulation, when the tribulation period is over, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So we see here they're saying this is after the tribulation time. This is the second coming of Christ to the earth. And he's saying that everyone's going to see that he's coming. And it says in verse 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. He begins to talk about, hey, when these signs are coming, right, that tells us something. When her branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So he begins to give a little bit of a parable about the fig tree, saying, pay attention. Don't let these things take you by surprise. Don't let these things trouble you. Now, when you see these things happen, you know that the time is getting close. And then he begins in verse number 34 to tell another story. And he says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he shall find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So when we come here, we look at this passage of scripture, and we look here in verse chapter number 13, and we have an understanding of this is what Jesus' disciples, four of them come to him and say, hey, I want to know when these things are going to happen. Can you give us a little bit of intel? Can you give a little bit of insight? So what does he do? He, instead of laying everything out, and he lays quite a bit out, what does he do? He says, look, I want you to take heed. I want you to pay attention to certain things. These are certain things I want you to watch for. And when you come here to verse number 34, he gives this story. So tonight, this morning in Sunday school, I'd like to look at just a few things about this word watch. And we're going to go back into the chapter a little bit to help us understand a couple of things. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement and a help to you today. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us in this chapter. Help us have some good understanding. Help us to get a good working knowledge of what you want these disciples to learn. Lord, would you work in our hearts and lives? Lord, we need you. I know that I need you. I know each of us does. Lord, there's certain things you want us to do. We're living on the cusp of eternity. Lord, you could be coming back at any moment. And we pay so much attention to so many things. Lord, help us to be careful to watch as you've told us to. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We got to move kind of quickly, but I think it's something you'll be able to get something from and something that will hopefully convict our hearts. This is verse number 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. So we see here there's a person taking a journey. If we would look at this, this is a picture of the traveler taking a journey. It's a picture of Jesus returning to go back to heaven. And he says, I'm coming back someday. So we got a picture there. Now, for a second with me, imagine what the journey of Jesus was like. Now, we know there's no beginning. He's God. He's always been there. And then we think about he's living in glory. We see all those things happen. Then he comes to Bethlehem. As he goes to Bethlehem, we see him lives that 33 years here. And he's getting ready to die. He's giving this story. He's talking about end times. But he's talking about this as he's getting prepared to die and to die for the sins of mankind. So we see from Bethlehem, perfect sinless life, going to the cross, which is what we're celebrating, or not celebrating the cross, but celebrating the work he did, celebrating the resurrection. Many people will say, well, his journey stopped at the cross. It didn't stop at the cross. Praise the Lord. He kept on to the grave. He rose from the dead. He comes. He spends 40 days with the disciples. Now he heads back up to heaven. After heaven, he comes. He calls his church home. And then he talks about how he's coming back someday. Right now, he's seated in the right hand of the Father. Someday he will be seated in that millennial kingdom. And so we see this is the journey that he is going through and the things that he's doing here in Mark chapter 13, verse number 34. Now, what does he tell his disciples I want you to pay attention to? He doesn't describe to him how glorious heaven's going to be. He doesn't describe to him all the he describes a little bit of what the tribulation is going to look like, but he says, this is what I want you to focus on. Focus on taking heed. Focus on watching. And that's what he says. He says, hey, picture this journey. Who left his house and gave authority to his servant and to the every man his work and commanded to the porter to watch. So what he does, he gives his house over to a porter. He gives his house over to a steward. And he tells them, he says to them that he gives them, you see in verse number 34, he gives them some authority. Now, this is exciting. And Jesus leaves. And as he's leaving, he gives us responsibilities. This is what he does for us. He gives us access to God. He gives us his word. He gives us his spirit. He gives us the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives us different, not only things that have in our lives available to us, he gives us authority. He gives us responsibility. We are joint heirs of Christ. We have part of a local church. We have a responsibility to do. So what he's doing, he says, look, I'm leaving. I'm going to come back. I've given you responsibility here. Now I want you to watch. I want you to pay attention. And continues on. And he says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, it at even or at midnight or at cockcrowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he shall find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. We see where he says in verse number 37, this is a message for them all. This is a message for all of us. What are we supposed to be watching? We're supposed to be watching for the return of Christ. Now, can we really watch for the return of Christ when we're focused on other things? The answer is no. One of the things is going to have our attention. One of the things is going to be our focus. And it's keeping our eyes focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we understand. I'm watching for what? I'm watching for his return. And here, that's what he tells them. He, once again, they sit down, they bring him privately, they bring him to the mountain, says, hey, here's the four guys. They're asking a question. He says, look, I want you to take heed. I don't want you to let these things trouble you. And here's the story at the end. This is where I'm bringing everything across. You've learned a little bit about what you're going to face. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face people saying that they are truly the Messiah. They're going to try to deceive you. You're going to face all these things. But what I want you to do is you remember, I'm leaving, I'm coming back, and I want you to focus on watching for me. I want you to focus on the day I'm going to return. I don't want you to focus on all those other things. Yes, they are signs like the fig tree that we saw. They're signs that show my coming is soon, but I want you to watch. So here's a couple things I want you to think about Jesus' return. Look what it says in verse chapter 24. Go back up, verse number 24. It says, but in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So we see here that Jesus says, I'm going to return. So that's what the story at the end, the little parable at the end says, look, I'm leaving and I'm coming back and I want you to watch. There's verse number 26. It says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. That's referring to all those that are left in the earth. After the tribulation time, we've already been called out in this point in time. So a couple of different things about Christ's return. First thing is, he is coming suddenly. He is coming suddenly. In verse number 32, it says, but that day and that hour, no man knoweth no man. Know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. You know, there's no, he's coming suddenly. It's going to be something that it's sudden. That's what he says in verse number 36, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. He said, I don't want you to spend your life here living as if I'm not returning or not caring that I'm returning. He said, I want you watching so that way when I come back, I'm not going to find you sleeping. I'm not going to find you focused on other things. I'm not going to find you focused on the things of this world. That's why he tells us not to love the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if we begin to love God, love other things more than God, our focus isn't going to be on him. We're not going to be looking forward to his coming. It's going to be suddenly. Even in Acts chapter number 1, it talks about how he says, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour, you don't know the time when it's coming back. Pay attention to watching. Watch for me to return. And not only is he coming suddenly, I believe he's coming also shortly. Look what it says in verses 28 and 29. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. It's sort of like It's at the door. It's there. It's waiting for you. It's sort of like when you have a surprise party for someone and you're there. Everybody's staying quiet in a dark room. You say, oh, wait, they're there. They're at the door. Christ is coming. It's at the door. He even tells us in Philippians 4 or 5, and when he refers to that, the Lord is at hand. So it's speaking of a generation here that's living during the time of tribulation. Look what it says in verse 30. It says, verily, I say unto you that this generation shall not pass all these things be done. Now, I know some people look at that verse and they're confused, thinking, well, he's speaking to those four, but they've all passed. Well, if you go back, he begins to talk about those that are in the tribulation. He begins to talk about that in verse number 24. So he's referring to the generation that was living during the tribulation, that's not going to pass all these things are going to done. He is coming shortly. We also see he's coming surely, too. And that's what he says here in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Yes, it's definite. It's going to be suddenly. It's going to be coming shortly, but also it's going to be surely. We know he's coming because he says so in his word. And there's nothing. And I know a lot of people use verses 31 and says it talks about the word of God and how it's established. And you can make application there. But what he's talking about is his second coming. So we see here that about his coming. Think about that journey that Jesus took. Once again, he has left earth. Once again, he's back up in heaven. He's coming back someday. And we should be waiting for that. We should be watching. So here's the point is we should make that help change our lives. I don't know about you, but I myself can tell you stories. You probably heard me tell you stories when I was a child. If my parents were going to be gone for 8 hours and they asked me to do something, you know what I do? I wait till 7 hours and 55 minutes because that's what I'm going to do because I know they're coming back at a certain time. We can't do that. There was a gentleman here that's a part of her church that was talking about his wife that was leaving for a little while. And he said, you know what? I got 5 days. So for four days and 4.5 days, house is going to look the way I want. And then just before she gets back, I'm going to take care of things to make sure everything looks right. You know, it's the idea that we know when someone's going to return. When I used to work and manage a warehouse, it was a 24-hour warehouse, and probably once a week or every 2 weeks, you know what I would do on the midnight shift? I would come. I would go look. The reason why I was going to come and look is because I wanted to make sure they were doing what they were supposed to do. These are all just basic, simple examples, but they should speak to our heart. They should convict our heart. If Jesus came back today, would he find us watching? Are we really paying attention? And once again, these are all interesting things. You know, we're going to probably even look a little bit deeper maybe next Sunday in Sunday school class, a little bit about the abomination of desolation and about the different things that these things look like, about the tribulation and all those different things. But he says, that's not where he focuses on. He tells the story. I want you to be watching. I want you to be paying attention. Yes, you can have lots of knowledge. You can have lots of understanding. But if it doesn't change your life, it doesn't affect how you live, then what's it worth? Oh, I got knowledge. I got understanding. We must learn that it's not about just being a knowledge and understanding. We must learn that it to affect our lives. We must be awake spiritually. We must be thinking about the return of Christ. Here's some verses. He says here in verse number 34, he doesn't just tell him that when he leaves and he gives the porter, but he gives the porter authority, it says there. Not only does he give authority to the servants, but he says every man his work. He's given us all something to do. He's given us an authority. He's told us to go out in his name and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is a work that needs to be done. There's a work that needs to happen. And then we see here to his servants and to every man his work. And we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, he puts it this way. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3 says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. He says, look, he says, pay attention because there's going to be a day I return and I don't want to come and you be as a thief to you. You should be watching. You should be waiting. You should be paying attention to these things. So the question is, will Christ find us sleeping and slumbering or will he find us watching? If Jesus Christ came today, and that's why I began thinking and considering and looking at my life in this past week and reflection to the scripture, how do I do? Is he really, if he returned today, am I really truly watching for his return? If if we knew he was going to come tomorrow, what would your reaction be? What is it that you would do differently? If you knew Jesus Christ was going to call his church home tomorrow and you're going to be accountable for things, I don't know about you. Some people might be like, oh, cool, I got 24 hours to live it up and I can go live whatever sin I want because I'm going to heaven. I don't know if that person would be saved, to be honest with you, if they have that mindset. But I think most people that is least spiritually minded be like, you know what? There's that person I never talked to. There's that person I've never gotten right with. There's that I want to reach out to this person. And we begin saying, I know he's coming back. So just like me, when I was a child, my parents are supposed to be home at 5 o'clock at work. I would go and I would make sure everything looked right and make sure the house was vacuumed or whatever they put on my list for that day, because I wanted to pay attention because I knew they were returning. And if we're watching that Christ is returning, guess what we should do? We should be paying attention to it. And that's what he says in this passage of scripture. He says, this is what I want you to focus on. He says, watch. And that's what he says in verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. There's an urgency missing today. It really is. There's really an urgency that's missing in our hearts and lives today. Could he return today? The answer is yes. Do we live like he could return today? Not most of us. If we would, I'm not saying this is something that should be dreaded, because when Christ comes back, he calls his church home. And once again, I say comes back, he comes and he calls his church home. I understand that his second coming is after tribulation. We've already explained all that. But basically, the porter left everything to him. He left in the household. He gave him the keys. He did all those things. And when he did all those things, he says, I want you to return. And when I return, I want you to be doing certain things. Other passages of scripture, other parables, he says, occupy till I come. There's going to be a day of accounting. There's the bema seat of Christ. All those different things that are happening, all those things that we could be a part of. Are we paying attention? Are we really considering that he could come back today? Because if we consider that he could come back today and he has told them to watch, and that's why it should take us and we should desire to live holy, desire to live right. That's why we should take heed on the things that he's talked to us about. So this morning, as we look at this, and I want you to consider this idea of watch, I want you to consider Jesus' journey. Obviously, no beginning, but he came to Bethlehem, went to Golgotha, the grave, went back up to heaven. Someday he's calling the church home. Then he's returning, as we saw in the passages of scripture today. And of all those things happening, what does he tell his disciples to do? He says, he boils it all down to this. I want you to be watching. I want you to be paying attention because I'm going to return someday. Don't want you to act like, oh, it could be next year. I can get right then or I can do things. No, he says, I want you to live day by day with this thought. I could return today. So let me encourage you today. Watch. He boils it all down to this, and he says, watch. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. He doesn't just say to those four. He's saying to everyone in verse number 37. He's saying to all, watch. He says he does not want to find you sleeping. He doesn't want you to come and be surprised. Now, the world will be surprised. There's going to be how many people out of this world when Christ calls his church home. They're going to be surprised, obviously. But we don't have to be. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. If someone says they know the day or the hour, they're unbiblical. But at the same time, he boils it all down to here. Are we watching as if he could return even today? Let's pray.